We continue Bezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Pei Vav. We begin 10 lines from the top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph by the two dots where it says Amar Amemar. This limud is Leilu Nishmat Harav Shalom Cohen Ben Tfach Amalka, Yair Ben Tova, Naim Ben Chatun, Yom Tov Ben Chana, Shaul Ben Latife, ארז בן מרים, ברוך בן שלמה, לובה בת מזל, חיה אסתר חווה בת שרה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, רבקה בת דבורה, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, אנסוליקה בת חנה. לרפואה שלמה, פור אלישבע בת נטע, חנה בת סוליקה, גבריאלה מסעודה בת שרה, אין אסתר בת שרה. הגמרא continues a little bit more on the issue, on the סוגיה of מוכר שטר חוב לחברו, of one who sells a loan document, a shtar chov, to someone else. Amar amemar, man de da'in dine de garmi. One, amemar says, one who judges cases of indirect damage, which means, according to the opinion, that when it comes to nezek, when it comes to damaging, one is liable to pay, even if he causes damage indirectly. That's called grama or garmi. So in that case, magve be dme shtara me'alia. In that case, when the one who sold the loan document went ahead afterwards and forgave the loan, so now the person who bought the loan document is owed payment, and the one who forgave the loan has to pay him. Magve be dmei shtara me'alia. He has to pay him the value of the proper shtar, because by forgiving the loan, so now the document became void, and now he's causing the one who purchased the document financial loss. So he has to compensate the purchaser for the amount that's recorded in the shtar. But man delada in dina de garme, but one who does not judge cases of indirect damage. See, this is a case of causing damage indirectly by forgiving the loan. So now indirectly, the person who purchased the document is losing out. So according to the one who holds da'in dina de garme, he has to compensate him for the full amount of the shtar. But according to the opinion that holds la da'in dina de garme, that a person is not liable for damages that he caused indirectly, magve be dmei niyara be'alma. So then the purchaser will collect only the value of the paper on which the shtar was written. Hava uvda, there was once a case like this, v'chafye rafram l'rav Ashi, and Rafram pressured Rav Ashi, of course it means by persuading him with words, he pressured him to give a psak, to give a ruling in this matter, and ve'agbi be ki keshura letzalme, and Rav Ashi collected in this case as if the person damaged a beam. Keshura is a beam used for tzalme, for crafting a sculpture, which means he obligated the one who sold the shtar the full value of the debt that was written on the shtar chov. Ki keshura litzalme is just a figure of speech to say that he made him pay the full price, just like a person who is buying an expensive beam that is used for sculpture. Amar amemar mishme de Rav Chama. Amemar says in the name of Rav Chama, Hayman de'ika ale ktubat isha u'bal chov. A person who has two obligations. He has an obligation to pay his wife's ktubah, and he also owes money to a balchov, to a creditor. Ve'itle ar'a ve'itle zuze. And he possesses one piece of land, and he possesses money. So now, to which do you give what? Le'balchov mesalkinan le'bezuze. To the creditor, we settle the payment with money. Le'isha mesalkinan la'be'ar'a. The debt towards the woman of her ktubah, that is settled with payment of land. Hai kidine, the hai kidine. This one according to his law, and this one according to her law. Which means that since the creditor, the one who lent him the money, he gave him money, So it's reasonable that he should receive money in return. The woman, however, she didn't give him anything, meaning she didn't give him money here. The ketubah is something that she relied upon. She relied on the shi'bud on his land. There was, because of the ketubah, there's a lien, there's a shi'bud on land, and therefore she's given land. So that's pashut. Ve'ila ika elachad ara, but let's say he only has one piece of land. And it's only enough for payment of one, either the Baal Chov or the Ketubah. Now what do you do? Well, in that case, le Baal Chov yahavin ale. You give the creditor. Why? Why is that? Leisha lo yahavin ala. And to the woman, you don't give the piece of land. You'll worry about it later. Go make money. But right now, that one piece of land that you have, you give to the Baal Chov. Why? Because the natural tendency is that more than a man wants to marry, a woman wants to be married. Meaning, women do not get married because they wish to receive the money or the land of the ketubah. Right? Therefore, it's better to give preference to the malve, to the creditor, so that he doesn't lose out, and also not to discourage people from lending money. But a woman is never going to be discouraged from not getting married because of this, because yoter mima she'ish rotze lisa, isha rotze lehinase. Amar le'Rav Papa le'Rav Chama. Rav Papa asked Rav Chama the following. Vadai de'amritu mishmei de'Rava? Is it correct that you said in the name of Rava the following halacha? Hay man de'maske be'zuze, someone who owes money. Ve'itle ar'a, and he has land. Ve'ata ba'alcho ve'katava amine. And the creditor comes and he demands from him his money that he owes him. Ve'amarle zil shekol me'ara. And the borrower tells him, go and take the amount that you are owed from the land that I have. Amrina le, so we tell him, we tell the one who owes the money, zil zabin at ve'aiti havle. Go and sell the land yourself and give him the money. So Rav Papa is asking Rav Chama, is it true that you said this halacha in the name of Rava? Amar le lo, he said to him, no, I didn't say this in the name of Rava, that's not true. Meaning Rav Papa was asking Rav Chama, is it true really that you said that in the name of Rava that he has, that the one who borrowed the money has to sell the land and pay money? But after all, the Baal Chov, the creditor, he relies on the piece of land. You could give him land instead. Is it true that you said that? That you have to sell the land and give him the money? So Rav Chama said, no, no, that's not true. I didn't say that. Of course, if a person doesn't have money, he can give karka, he can give land instead. So Rav Papa realized that there was something behind why he heard that Rav Chama said it in the name of Rava. So Rav Papa asked Rav Chama, Ema li gufa de uvda hechi hava. Please, tell me, Rav Chama, tell me what case, what was the case, what happened, what exactly happened that caused this opinion to be said in the name of Rava? So Amar le, so Rav Chama said to him, Tole ma'otav begoy hava. It was a case where really the lender, the one who borrowed the money and owed the money, he did have money. However, Tole ma'otav begoy hava, he attached his money to a goy, meaning he claimed that this money belonged to a goy, and therefore he was not able to give this money. It belonged to a goy. So therefore, the halacha is, Hu asa shelo kahogen, lefichach asu bo shelo kahogen. Being that this man acted in an improper way, by just pushing off the person and saying, I'm not giving you the money, I'm going to give it to a goy, so that's considered asa shelo kahogen. So lefichach asu bo shelo kahogen. Therefore, the chachamim acted improperly with him also by forcing him to sell the land. That was the reason why, in that case, Rava said that he should go and sell his land and give him the money. But otherwise, in regular cases, of course, a person can pay his chov with land itself. He doesn't have to sell it. Amar le Rav Kahana le Rav Papa. Rav Kahana asked the following question to Rav Papa. Ledidach de'amart priat ba'al chov mitzvah. According to your opinion, Rav Papa's famous opinion in Shas is that priat bal chov, the repayment of a debt, is a mitzvah. That means that according to Rav Papa, the malve, the lender, doesn't have a lien on the property of the borrower. The obligation of the borrower to pay is only because it's a mitzvah from the Torah to pay up one's loan. It's not because of any shibud, it's not because of any lien that is on his property. Priyat Barchov is mitzvah. That's Rav Papa's opinion. So Rav Kahana is asking him, according to your opinion that says like that, Amar lo nichal yide eved mitzvah. Mai? What if the one who owes the money, he says, I don't want to perform this mitzvah. What would be the halakha? According to you, do you say now there's no obligation to repay the loan? It's only because of a mitzvah. So what happens if he's not interested in doing the mitzvah? So what? He gets out of it? He doesn't have to pay his loan? Amarle. So Rav Papa told him, no. It's not so simple like that. Tanina. We already learned this halakha in a braita. Bame devarim amurim b'mitzvat lo ta'ase. The braita says over there that it's talking about the punishment of receiving 40 malkuyot, lashes, when one commits a lo ta'ase, when one commits a sin. One receives malkut. So, b'me devarim amurim b'mitzvat lo ta'ase. When do we say that one is liable to receive malkut? That's only regarding mitzvot lo ta'ase, negative, if he transgresses a negative mitzvah. Aval b'mitzvah ta'ase, but regarding a positive mitzvah, such as, kegon shomrim lo ase sukkah ve'eno ose. Let's say a person is told by the bedin, hey, perform the mitzvah of building a sukkah, lulav, and he doesn't do it. Or they tell him, perform the mitzvah of holding the lulav and the arba minim at sukkot, ve'eno ose, and he doesn't do it. Makin oto ad shetetze nafsho. The bedin have the right to hit him unlimited number of times, even until his soul departs, in order to force the person to perform the mitzvah. So, since the payment of a debt, according to Apapa, is a mitzvah aseh, so one who refuses to pay a debt can be forced to do so in this way by the Beddin. Ve'amine Rami Bar Chama Merav Chizda. Rami Bar Chama asks a question of Rav Chizda. Hare ze gitech, if a person said to his wife, this is your get, ve'lo tidgarshi bo ela le'achar 30 yom. But you should only be divorced with it after 30 days. Okay, and she takes the get. Ve'halcha v'inichatu b'tzide reshut harabim. She took the get and she placed it b'tzide reshut harabim, in the sides of the public domain of the reshut harabim, which means like a sidewalk, in a place that was open to the reshut harabim, but not actually part of it. So she put it there, and after 30 days, it was still there. Mahu, what is the halakha? Is she now divorced? Which means, can she have a kinyan on that day when the get is found betzideh reshut harabim? Does she acquire the get in order to be midgareshet, in order to be divorced on that day? Amar le, ena migureshet miderav u'shmuel. Rav Chisda said, no, she's not divorced. And this we learn from the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. Derav u'shmuel dami tarvayu, because Rav and Shmuel both said, remember, Rav and Shmuel said regarding our Mishnah that any of the creditors of the one who passed away can seize items of mitaltelim as long as they are tzvurim umunachim b'reshut harabim, as long as they are arranged in piles and placed in the reshut harabim, since they are mamash in the public domain. So in that case, the heirs, the yetomim, the orphans of the deceased, do not acquire it yet. It's not yet part of their inheritance, and therefore the creditors can seize it, and it becomes theirs. Vetzideh reshut harabim kereshut harabim damu, and the sides of reshut harabim has the same status as the reshut harabim itself, and therefore, since the get is placed in the tzideh reshut harabim, it's just like if it is in reshut harabim proper. And in that case, it's not considered like it's in her possession. Just like we say, it's not considered like it's in the possession of the yetomim, and therefore any creditor can come and seize it for himself. So same thing over here. If the get is placed on day 30, if it's placed in a place that's not under her domain, or in a place where anybody can take it, such as Tzidei Reshut HaRabim, she's not Migureshet. However, Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Chisda, Adrabah, on the contrary, Megureshet, she is divorced. And you know where I know it from? Midrav Rav Nachman, according to the opinion of Rav Nachman. Da'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Baravua, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Baravua, Ha'omer lechavero, a person who tells his friend, Meshoch parazo, pull this cow now, ve'lo tiye knuya lachad le'achar 30 yom. But it should only be acquired by you after 30 days. What's the halacha? Kana, Rav Nachman says, he acquires it, va'afilu omedet ba'agam. Even if after those 30 days, the cow is in the agam, is in the meadow, in an ownerless place, right? So now, since the kinyan began properly at the start of the 30 days, so therefore the kinyan applies even after 30 days, even if it's omedet ba'agam, says Rav Nachman. So now, my love, hainu agam v'hainu tzidei reshut harabim, shall we not say that the same status in halacha for agam applies to tzidei reshut harabim, which means the two places have a similar status? So if Rav Nachman holds that by the agam it's still considered a kinyan, so by tzidei reshut harabim, if the get is there, it's still considered a kinyan by the woman, therefore she's megureshet. However, Rav Chisda argued, Rav Chisda said, lo, agam lechud, the status of a meadow is different. It's by itself. And the status of Tzidei Reshut HaRabim is different. You cannot compare the two. Tzidei Reshut HaRabim has the status of Reshut HaRabim, but not an agam. An ownerless meadow is not considered part of a public domain. Therefore, it's different. Ika d'amri, now, some had a different version of the machloket Rami Bar Chama and Rav Chisda. In this version, it was Amarle Megoreshet mid Rav Nachman. It was Rav Chisda who replied to Rav Bar Chama in the beginning. He said, she is Megoreshet because of Rav Nachman, because the halakha that we just saw, because Tzidei Reshut HaRabim ke Agam Dami, because the sides of Reshut HaRabim has the same status as Agam. And Rami Bar Chama replied the opposite. He said, Adrav, on the contrary, Eina Megoreshet, she is not divorced mid Rav Shmuel, from the halakha that we see from Rav Shmuel regarding tfisa tzvurim umunachim b'reshut harabim, and my love, haynu reshut harabim v'haynu tzidei reshut harabim, shouldn't we say that the same thing, that tzidei reshut harabim is the same as reshut harabim itself? Rami Bar Chama told Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda answered, lo, reshut harabim lechud v'tzidei reshut harabim lechud. Reshut HaRabim has one status. Tzidei Reshut HaRabim is not like Reshut HaRabim. And therefore, she is Megoreshet. It's considered that the get is acquired by her when it is placed in Tzidei Reshut HaRabim. The next Mishnah begins as follows. Hamoshiv et ishto chenvanit. One who appoints his wife as a storekeeper in his store to take care of his merchandise. Oshemina apotropia. Or let's say the husband appointed her as an apotropus, as an administrator who is in charge to handle his property, to handle his workers. Hareze mashbi'ah kol zman sheyirtze. The husband has the right to make her swear whenever he wants, to make sure that she did not take anything from his possessions. If he appointed her as a storekeeper of his, or as an apotropus administrator of his, then he can be mashbia her. He can administer an oath to her. He can have her swear that she did not take something for herself from his merchandise or from his property. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, afilu al pilcha ve'al isata. Even if he doesn't appoint her as a chenvanit or apotropia, even regarding pilcha, regarding products such as her spindle or her isa or her dough, which these are things that are related to the household, right? Not her function as a storekeeper. He has the right to make her swear to say that she did not take anything that belonged to him. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara now begins by clarifying the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Ibai alehu. The Chachamim had a question. Rabbi Eliezer al yedei gilgul ka'amar, or lechatchila ka'amar? Rabbi Eliezer, when he says that you could make her swear even on things that are matters, items that are related to the household, right? Is it only al yedei gilgul? Is it only by means of extension? Which means if he made her as an administrator or he appointed her as a chenvani, as a storekeeper. And as we saw, the halakha is he can make her swear. So can we say, so did Rabbi Eliezer mean to say, by extension, if she's already swearing for other things, then he can also make her extend her oath on pilcha ve'isata, on the things that have to do in the home. Is that what he meant? Is he only, when he says afilu al pilcha, is he only adding to what Tana Kama said? O lechatchila kama. Or did he mean even lechatchila with me, which means even if she's not swearing as a chenvani or a potopia. Stam, he wants her to swear about things in the house that she didn't take for herself. That's called lechatchila. Is that what Rabbi Eliezer holds? The Gemara wants to understand the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. When he says, afilu al pilcha, is it lechatchila, or is it only when she's already swearing as an apotropus, so then he can extend, that's called gilgul, he can extend the shvua further. So the Gemara brings a braita to solve this question. Tashema, come in here. Avrulu Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim told Rabbi Eliezer, they opposed his opinion, that he said, afilu al pilcha ve'al isata. A person cannot live in the same basket with a snake, which means you can't expect a woman to live with a husband who constantly suspects her of stealing and makes her swear. So what do you mean he can even make her swear al pilcha, even on things that belong in the household? That's not fair. That's not a life. That's why Chachamim argued with Rabbi Eliezer. So now this sheds light on what the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, of what his opinion was. If you say that Rabbi Eliezer meant to say that even lechatchila he can make her swear, not only by extension, shapir, then it's understandable what Chachamim said to him and why they opposed him. But if you say that Rabbi Eliezer never really meant that he can just make her swear like that out of the blue, it's only by extension he can ask her to add in her shvua to include anything in the household. So then why would Chachamim oppose this? What difference does it make to her? Anyway, she's taking an oath. Anyway, she's swearing regarding the matters that concern the store. So what's the big deal if she just continues and extends the shvua regarding her household matters? So therefore, it seems like Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was that he meant lechatchila. Separately, he can make her swear on those household items. But the Gemara pushes away this proof. The Gemara says, no, it could be really he means even just by extension. Why did Chachamim oppose? De amra le, because Chachamim hold the woman can say to him, kevan de kadaikat batrai kule hai, since you're so meticulous with me and so exacting with me, lo matzina de edu be'adach, I can't live with you. Which means, even if it's only by extension, still, it's unfair to add this also, I have to swear? I'm already swearing for the things in the store. Why are you asking me to swear about things in the house? Even by extension, this is not a comfortable situation. And she has the right to say, I don't want to live with such a person. And that's why Chachamim opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. So we're still not clear what is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, Tashema, come in here from a different braita. States as follows. Hare shelo patar et ishto min haneder umin hashevua. Let's say a husband who did not exempt his wife in the ketubah from his right of having her swear or take a vow regarding, you know, the property that she's in charge of. And he established her as a storekeeper or as an administrator over his property. He has the right to make her swear whenever he wants. If he did not establish her as a storekeeper or appoint her as an administrator, he cannot make her swear. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Afal pi shelo hoshiva chenvanit velo minah apotropia, even if he did not make her a storekeeper or an administrator, hareze mashbi'ah kol zman sheirtze." He can ask her to swear whenever he wants. She'en lecha isha shelo na'aset apotropia sha'a achad v'chaye ba'ala al pilcha ve'al isata. Because every woman, even for 1 hour in her husband's lifetime at least, she becomes in charge of certain things that he owns, even things that are at home. Pilcha, her spindle, or the dough. These are things that he owns. And she's considered like an administrator who's in charge of them. And therefore, Rav Eliezer says, he has the right to make her swear for these things, even if she's not a chenvanit. Amru lo, chachamim told him, no, you can't do that. En adam darim nachash b'chfifa. Person does not live with a snake in the same house. That's the end of the baita. What do we see clear from this baita? That the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, shma mina lechatchila, shma mina. We see that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was that even lechatchila, even not by extension of the swearings on items in the store, even just for items of the household, Rabbi Eliezer hold, he can have her swear. But the opinion of Chachamim is opposing that. The next Mishnah begins as follows. Katavla, if let's say a husband wrote to his wife in the Ketubah, Neder ushvua enni alaych. I relinquish my right to make you vow or swear for me. En yachol hashbia. Okay, so now he waived his rights. He can never ask her to swear. Aval mashbia hu et yoresheha ve'et habaim birshuta. But he still has the right to make her yorshim, her heirs, swear, or to those who come by her power. Which means, let's say, yorsheha, though the heirs who come to collect her inheritors, her heirs who come to collect the ketubah. Or people who ba'im birshuta, let's say someone bought the right on her ketubah from her, right? So now he comes and he wants to collect the ketubah. Well, these people, the husband still reserves the right to be able to make them swear that they did not receive any payment and that he has to pay them the full payment because he only waived his rights regarding her. However, let's say he writes in the ketubah, Neder ushvua enni alaych ve'al yorshaych ve'al habayim birshutich. I don't have a right to ask for you to swear, or your yorshim, or those who come by your power, meaning let's say someone who bought your right. Eno yachol lehashbia, he cannot ask her to swear, lo hi ve'lo yorshea ve'lo yitabayim birshuta, not her, not her heirs, and not those who come by her power. Aval yorshav mashbi'in otah ve'et yorshea. But his heirs, the heirs of the husband, they still have the right to make her swear that she didn't receive anything, or ve'et yorsheha, or to make her inheritors swear, or ve'et habayim birshuta, those who come from her authority. A third case, the Mishnah says, neder ushvua enli ve'lo leyorshai. ולא לבאים ברשותיך עלייך, ברשותי עלייך, ולא על יורשייך ועל הבאים ברשותיך. If he makes it clear in the Ketubah by saying, I waive the rights of a shvua, I cannot make you swear, and my heirs cannot make you swear, and all those who come from my authority cannot make you swear, and they cannot make your heirs swear, and they cannot make those who come from your power. Eno yachol leashbia, he cannot make her swear, lo hu. Not him, v'lo yorshav, not his heirs, v'lo avayim birshuto, not those who come from his authority, lo ota, they cannot make her swear, v'lo yorshea, not her heirs, v'lo avayim birshuta, birshuta, not those who come by her authority. Now, halcha mikever ba'ala levet aviha. Let's say a woman who is now exempted from swearing, right? He wrote her in the ketubah, he waives his rights to make her swear. She went from her husband's grave to her father's house. That means, let's say her husband died, and immediately after the burial, she went back to her father's house, right? Without dealing with her deceased husband's property. Or she returned to her father-in-law's house. Velo naaset apotropia. And she did not become an administrator over the property at all during this time after the husband died. En hayorshim mashbi'im uta. So the heirs cannot ask her to swear. That right was waived. Ve'im na'aset apotropia, but let's say in the interim, after the husband died, let's say she became now the administrator to be in charge of the estate of her husband. So now in this case, ha'yorshim mashbi'im ota al he'atid lavo. The heirs have the right to make her swear about anything she did with the property, le'atid lavo means in the future, which means after the death of her husband. They have the right to ask her to swear that after the death of her husband, she didn't take anything for herself yet. But they cannot make her swear regarding what took place in the past, meaning during her husband's lifetime, because regarding that, the right to have her swear was waived. So now the Gemara wants to explain the Mishnah, Shvu'a mai avidita. What is the case and the purpose of the Shvu'a that the Mishnah is talking about, the oath that our Mishnah is saying that the husband wrote in the Ketubah that she's exempt from swearing? What type of Shvu'a are we talking about? What is this referring to? So here we have two opinions. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, al apotropia shenaset b'chaye ba'ala. It's referring to a woman who became an administrator during her husband's lifetime over his property. It was a common thing for a man to leave his wife in charge of his property, and so he would exempt her from taking any oath, from swearing regarding the property. So that's what the Shvu'ah that the Mishnah is referring to. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua al hapogemet ketubata. Rav Nachman in the name of Rav Baravua says that's not the Shvu'ah that the Mishnah is referring to. It's referring to al hapogemet ketubata, regarding a woman who claims that she received partial payment of her ketubah. So she normally has to take an oath, she has to swear that she didn't receive more than the amount that she's admitting to, that she received. So our Mishnah is referring to a husband who exempted his wife from this type of Shvu'ah, the Shvu'ah of Pogemet Ketubata. The Gemara is going to continue now to discuss these two opinions. We'll stop here and continue Mizrat Hashem tomorrow.